We begin the current daf in Sechta Sanhedrin, daf Chav Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of Chavav Mebez, and the last word on the daf, where the Gemara continues in a related discussion from the previous daf, which we were discussing the halachas of different psulim, invalidations in edim in witnesses, who is valid and who is not valid to testify. So the Gemara continues with a related discussion. Itmar, it was said as follows, as we continue to talk about Chav Zayin Med Aleph. Eid Zayimim. Regarding the concept of Eid Zayimim, which that is when a witness says a testimony regarding an individual, and then other witnesses come and say to the first set of witnesses, how could you have said that fact that you were there at that time and you saw that take place, when at that time you were with us in a different place, so therefore you could not have seen that, and therefore what you're saying is false. Now, what generally happens is that what those witnesses attempted to do to the one that they that to the defendant, then actually happens to them. But now we're talking about a specific halachic discussion of the Eid Zayimim, where if, let's say, they said their testimony in Nisan, whatever it is that they were testifying, that this guy killed that person on that day. Then, 6 months later in Tishrei, they were huzam on something else, but regarding this testimony, it turns out that they could not have seen that. But they're only huzam, they only get rejected, they only get contradicted, but again, in the context of Eid Zayimim, 6 months later, that what they had said 6 months earlier turns out to have been false. So we have Machlekes, a famous Machlekes, Abai and Rava, regarding the halach of Eid Zayimim. Abai Yomar, he says, L'mafreyahu nifsal, that all the testimonies that this witness had testified from Nisan up until now, for the last 6 months, are all void, because from the moment that he said that testimony in Nisan, he already became a wicked person. He was a Rasha. He was someone that was an Eid Zayimim. And therefore, unlike the cases we said in the previous daf regarding Hachraza, here he's a wicked person, he's a Rasha, and the Torah tells us that a Rasha cannot be an Eid. So, although we didn't know, but now retroactively it's revealed that from that point on, he was an Eid Zayimim, he was a Rasha, and therefore all those testimonies are out, cannot be used, they're all void. Rav Amar, he disagrees, says, no, Mikanu Laba, from here and on, from this moment in Tishrei, when he's Huzam, which is verified in court that, oh, what you had said 6 months ago, what are you talking about? You said you were there, you could not have been. It's only from this point and on, hu nifsal, that he becomes void, invalid from being a witness. But the testimonies that were said in the last 6 months will be valid. So the Gemara explains their machlekes. Abaye Omal Mafrei hu nifsal, he says that the invalidation is retroactive, because me'idna da'asid rashu, like we said, from the moment he says the false testimony, the hazama testimony, which he's huzam on, he's a wicked person. Vatayram, and the Torah says in Shemayis, Al Tashis Yatrim Rush, do not place your hand with a wicked person, which Al Tashis Rasha, hey, don't make the wicked person into witness. He's a Rasha. We didn't know that, but now we know. So whatever he had said then was the testimony of a Rasha, and it's not valid. Rava Amar Mikanu Laba Hu Nifsal. Rava says, no, it's from here and on that he's void. But whatever he had said in the 6 months since he had said that false testimony is valid. He says, because Eid Zayimim Chiddushu, truthfully, the whole halacha of Hazama is a novelty, is a chiddush. To say that these two become invalid because of two other people who say, you were with us? What do you mean? It's two against two. Why do we say that we believe the second pair of two more than the first two? But that's the halacha that the Torah tells us. So it's a chiddush. My chaz is the samchahani, because why do you see fit to rely on the second pair of witnesses? Samchahani, you should rely on the first pair of witnesses. Rather, it's what's known as a custom. The Torah decreed it. So therefore, says Rava, ein lecha bay, elam shas chedusha ve'elach. So only thing that you have on it is from the moment of its novelty and onward, meaning from the moment the hazama happens, the Torah says, right now you were huzam. Oh, okay, now you're invalid. We believe the second pair of witnesses. But we don't say, oh, retroactively. No, retroactively, what? Based on logic? Who said? Maybe the first pair of witnesses are saying the truth and the second pair are lying. So the Torah tells it to you, but it's only from the moment of Hazama and onward that the psul is going to happen, but not retroactively to say whatever he said in the last 6 months will be void too. That's Machlekes Abai and Rava in what's known as a Shas Machlekes that's mentioned many times throughout. Our Eidim Zayman Pasal L'mafrei, like Abai said, Umakan Laba. Now, Ikidami, that those that say that actually Rava Namik Abai Svirle. Not like we just said before, that it's only Mishas Chedusha Ve'elach. No, Rav agrees to Abaye, and conceptually, that it is Pasul Mafreya, because ultimately, even if it says Zegzeis HaKasa, but the Torah considers the first pair of witnesses now Rasha, and 6 months ago, therefore, from that moment on, he was a Rasha, and anything that he testified after that should be Pasul. Umaytam kama mikan labos. Then why does Rava say that the psul is only going to be from here and on, and he doesn't say whatever was testified in the last 6 months, like Abaya, is going to be invalid? Is mishum pseidid lil kuches? Is because of the loss of consumers. If consumers had bought based on the testimony of this witness in the last 6 months, and the document was signed between that period of from Nisan till Tishrei, nobody knew at that point that this guy was possibly a very upstanding Jew. Only now did we realize that 6 months ago he had lied and he was an Eid Zayim. So since, because of the loss of the Kuches, which the Chacham have the ability, Hefker, Bes, and Hefker, the Chacham said that, okay, the psul of the Hazama, although it really should be retroactively, but because of the loss that's potential for consumers, we said only from here on. Now we know he's possible. No one could use him and no one should use him, but whatever was done is valid, and because we don't want to create a loss for the consumers. Now the Gemara asks, my benayu, what's the practical difference between these two different interpretations in the reasoning of Rava? Is it because he holds it's only mikan labo because it's a chiddush, or does he hold no, really it's l'mafreya, but it's because of pseid l'kuches? So the Gemara, two differences. Ikar benayu, the difference between them is das hidu beitrei b'chad. If you have two pairs of witnesses that testified in this one pair, meaning two people, which is one pair of witnesses, testified regarding this person, that, oh, you were with us in a different place. And then two other people said to the other one witness, oh, you were with us in a different place. So there's no chiddush that we believe the second pair because it's four against two, meaning it's two against one. Each one has two people countering that one person. That's not a chiddush. Of course, we believe the second pair more than the first because it's two against one. However, there's still going to be a loss for the lekuches. So according to the first reasoning, you're going to say that Rava would agree that it would be l'mafreya, because it's not a chiddush, versus according to the second interpretation, since there's still loss of l'kuches, then Rav would still hold this mikan labo. Inami, or another difference, is the paslinu, that they had invalidated these two people, begaz l'nusa. That, not with the classical hazama saying, oh, how could you say that you with us over there? But rather that they testified that this first pair of witnesses were robbers for something that they had stole in Nisan time. Now, there's no chiddush, because this is like a totally different thing. Meaning, if a pair of witnesses say something, that, oh, we were there at that time. Another pair says, no, how could you say you were there? You were with us. So it's two against two. And therefore, why should we believe the second pair more than the first pair? That's where Rabbi says that's a chiddush. But if, let's say, the first pair of witnesses say something, that this guy killed that person on that day, and then the second pair of witnesses, they don't contest him on that. They say a totally different idea. You guys are gazlanim. We saw you steal. So of course we believe that's what any pair of witnesses come and say regarding somebody, that they had done something, we believe the pair of witnesses. So in that case, there's no chiddush, because it's something totally different, but there would still be a pseid l'kuches, still be a loss for consumers, if now retroactively whatever document that I had used with these witnesses are going to be thrown out. So that, again, that would be another difference. Those would be two differences between the two reasons of Rava, why he holds mikan l'abba, is because it's a chiddush, or it's because of pseid l'kuches. So the Gemara concludes and says, "Va'amr b'yirmi medifti." He says, "Avad Rav Papi uvdi kafel seida Rava." Rav Papi didn't practice like Rava, which was that when there was a situation like that where the edim were huzam for something that they had testified 6 months before, he said they're only pasul makan laba. Whereas Mabra Avashi, he says, "No hilchas kafel seida baya halacha falls like abaya that it's l'mafrei nifsel." And says the Gemara, "V'hilchas kafel seida baya b'yalkakam the halacha does follow like abaya, although generally it's like Rava in these six cases of what's known as yalkagam." Which it's an acronym, each letter standing for a different halachic topic, which the Yud stands for Yush Lemidas, which is an Eilim Tzis and Daf Chof Alf Mabez. Do we say that if he's not aware, but he would have been Meyayish, is that considered Yush or not? Also, the Ayin is the topic of Eid Zaymim over here, which was, is it Lamafrehu Nifsal or Makan Labo? The Lama stands for Lechi Oimim Me'elov, which for halachas of Shabbos, of Eitzah, of Erevin, you have to have a side post. What's with if he didn't make the side post, but it was there by itself? As the Gemara says in Erevin Tezvav Medalv, the Kuf is Kiddushin Shalei Nimsru Labiyah, which is that you can never consummate the relationship. Is that going to be considered Kiddushin or not? As the Gemara says, Kiddushin Analv from Analv. The Gimel stands for Gilu Das Begitin, which is that he doesn't come out straight out directly and say that he's voiding the get, the husband, but he reveals his intention. Is that considered being mevatel the get or not? As the Gemara says in Gittin Lamadal Maralf. And the Mem stands for Mumur Oichel Nevelis Lahachis, which actually the Gemara is going to discuss shortly, regarding someone that rebels against the ways of the Torah and is eating non-kosher meat deliberately to, so to speak, anger God. what's the halachic status of that individual? That the Gemara is going to actually discuss later. These are six machlokes in the Abaye and Rava, where although we generally pass like Rava, we pass like in our halach of Eid Zaymim, like Abaye. So the Gemara continues on this mem, which is another machlok is Abaye and Rava. Mumar eichel nevelis l'teyavim. Someone that is rebelled against the ways of the Torah, who's eating a non-kosher, but an animal that was not properly slaughtered, for desire, for not for reasons to anger God, but for own personal reasons. Divrei HaKol Pasul. So everyone agrees that individual is going to be pasul to be an aid, to be a witness. Now the reason for that is because since he's doing it for monetary reasons, because why is he eating non-kosher? It's because he could get it cheaper than kosher meat. So that's what's known as Rasha of Chametz, as we mentioned in previous Tafim. What validates an individual from being an aid, besides the biblical cases, someone that comes right out and robs, is someone that for financial reasons would go ahead and violate Torah law, which in this case is such an individual. He eats non-kosher because it's cheaper. So therefore he's possible aid because he might then come to violate the laws of testimony for financial reasons, where if he's getting a bribe or if he's getting paid to say false testimony. But lahachis, regarding if someone's eating non-kosher, no, not because they get it cheaper. Maybe it's even costs more. Just to anger God. So Abaye am apostle. Abaye says such an individual is invalid to be a witness. Rav Amakashi says no, he's kosher. As the Gemara explains, Abaye am apostle, he says he's invalid because Avali Rasha. He's a wicked person. What he's doing, he's violating Torah mitzvahs to defy his God. Rachman al atashas Rasha Eden. The Torah says, you now let her go ahead and place a wicked person as a witness. But Rav Amakashi says, no, he's kosher because Rasha the Chametz be'inan. That it's not just any wicked person. It's a wicked person regarding theft that you need, which as we had qualified that, crystallized that concept in the previous daf, it means anything for financial reasons, which is mamar ochel teyavin. But lahachis, he's not doing it for financial reasons. There, when it's something regarding monetary areas, he won't necessarily go ahead and say false testimony. Therefore, he would be kosher as a witness. Now, the Gemara says, Mesa, but the Gemara asks from the following braisa on Rava. The Braisa says, Al Tashas Rasha Eid. The Torah says you should not place a wicked person as a witness, which, as the Pasuk says, Al Tashas Chames Eid. It says the term over there in the Pasuk of, you're not going to place a person that's a robber as a witness. So, says the Braisa, Eilu Gazlanen Umayinlen B'Shvuos. So, this refers to those who rob and those who commit treason regarding the laws of taking an oath. So, the Gemara says, what's the plural of Shvuos? My love, isn't it talking about two different categories of oaths? Echad shvur shav, one would be talking about an unnecessary oath. For example, if let's say someone says regarding a pillar made out of stone, he says, I swear it's a pillar made out of a stone. Or let's say what's known as a shvur sheker, a false oath, where someone's saying that regarding which is clearly a pillar made of stone, he says, it's made out of gold. So although that's not considered a rasha of chametz, that's a wicked person because he's violating the laws of oaths, but it's not that related to monetary law. Or the echad shvur moment, or would apply to the oaths of money. But either way, if it's saying in the plural, seemingly what's included in the halacha of not being a kosher witness is not only an oath of monetary law, because then it would have said in the singular, from the fact that saying in the plural must be saying that even an oath like a shvur shav, which has nothing to do with money, which is like Abaye, not like Rava, because Rava said it has to be violating Torah law for financial reasons. So it's like, well, no, it's not difficult on Rava. Idi shvur moment, no. They're both talking about, when it's used in the plural, oaths of money. So my shvus, then what's the plural of oaths? If it's just talking about one category and not including the other category of oaths like shvur shav, is shvus to alma. It means, in general, oaths of money, which there's many different people in the world and many different times it happens, those oaths would make a person puzzle to be an aid. But it's specifically talking about the category of shvus mamon, which is if it's swearing that I owe, when it's maida mixes, he has to make a shvua. Such type of oaths, but a shvur shav, if a person just swears that this is not a book and it really is a book, that actually says Rabbah, he would not be puzzle to be an aid because that's not a rasha of chametz. So the Gemara says, Mesa, but the Gemara asks a similar question now on Abaye. A different braisa says, Al Tashas Rasha Eid, you should not make a wicked person as a witness. Al Tashas Chames Eid, you should not make a robber into a witness. Says this braisa, Elu, who is this referring to? Gazlan and robbers. Umalvi ribiyes, and those who borrow, lend money on interest. So it sounds like only these types of situations would make a person possible to be an aid, which both of these categories, Gazlan and Malvi ribiyes, are monetary. But someone who eats nevelis, non-kosher, deliberately to anger his God, would not be possible to be an aid. Now, however, but if it would be, let's say, l'teyavin, if he was eating it because of lust or some other drives, or gazlan or malvi ribis, since that's related to monetary. So therefore, yeah, we said since he suspect to take to violate Torah law for financial reasons, so then he suspect to take sheichad money, bribery, and testify falsely. But one thing you see is it's specifically regarding someone violating Torah law for monetary reasons. So the Gemara tiyufta dabai tiyufta, that's a refutation of Abaye, as we said in previous dafim. The halacha of invalidating a person to be a witness is not just if he violates Torah law, but it's specifically if he does it for financial reasons, then he can't be a witness or a judge, because he might then take money, bribe money, and then falsify the testimony or the court case. So the Gemara says, actually, nemeke tanai. We should say that machlekes Abaye and Rava that we just discussed is a machlekes tanai, because we have the following brisa. Meir says that when a witness gets huzam, which is he's had testified in a court, and then some pair of witnesses come and say, how can you have said that you were with us on that day? You're a liar. That makes him pasul, invalid for the entire, to testify for anything related to Torah law. That's Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yisrael Meir, he qualifies, says, no. When did we say this? Shehuzam bedin in the fashas. If he had been huzam in a capital law case, where since he suspect regarding a very severe area, he was going to try to get someone killed, and he was lying regarding that. So yeah, then for sure he'd be suspect regarding even something that's a more lenient area of halacha. So then if he's huzam adin nefashis, then he's possible l'chal tarah kula to testify. Aval huzam adin nemamnes, but says Rabbi Yosef, let's say he was huzam only regarding a monetary court case, and it turns out that he was lying, kashal adin nefashis, he's still kosher for capital law, because he lies regarding something small, like a small claims court, doesn't mean he's gonna lie regarding capital punishment, then he's not suspect. Now says the Gemara, Neima Abaye Kremeya, Barava Krebiesi, similar to Machlik Zabai and Rav is Machlik Zremei Nerbiesi. Why? Explains the Gemara. Abaye Kremeya, Abaye is the Kremeya, because the Amar, what did Remeya say in this price we just quoted? That he said, Nalik Krebiesi, that even if someone is huzam only regarding a lighter area in halacha, let's say for a monetary case, he said that it's gonna be possible even for din nefashis, lachal terakula. So what do we say from a mayor? That Amrina Mekul L'chumra. That we say that even if someone is suspect regarding a lighter area in halacha, that he's suspect even for a more severe area in halacha. Well, then Abaye is like our mayor too. Because his case is also like from Kula L'chumra. Because Abaye said the same thing. He said that if someone's Eichel Nevelis L'hachas, if someone eats non-kosher to anger his God. So that's, in a sense, a lighter area in halacha, because he's only what's called Rala Shemayim. He's bad to Hashem, but he's not bad to people. It's just when it comes to Hashem, then he's done with people. He's very nice with. But regarding testifying falsely in a court of law, that is the most severe area in halacha, because then you're Rala Shemayim and Rala Brias. He's doing it's a beinodim lachaveri. You're taking advantage of other people and bad to Hashem, because Hashem doesn't want that, because you're causing a personal loss with the testimony. And yet still Abaye says that if someone is a mumra that is oichel nevelis lahachas, he's going to be possible because of that nevelis to aid the submammon, which is a mochamer. So seemingly Abaye is like Remeir. Rava dam Rabbi Yosi, and Rava says like Rabbi Yosi, because the Amr, he said, mochum alukulam rinan, from something more severe to something more light, that we say. I mean, if someone's huzim adin nefashis, then he's going to be huzim in din mammonis. But for something more lenient to something more severe, if someone suspects regarding he was huzam adin imamanis, does not make him huzam adin nefashis. Well, then that's the same thing like what Rava said. Rava said that no, if someone is a mumer because he's oichel nevelis lahachis, well, then that doesn't make him, where that's only ra la shemayim, that doesn't make him possible for to say testimony in the court of law, because that's a more severe. That's who said if someone is ra la shemayim, that he'll be both ra la shemayim and ra la brias. So similarly, the machlekes Abaye and Rav is machlekes Rabbi Meir Yosi. Says the Gemara, no, not necessarily. Aliba de Rabbi Yosi kula amalei pligi, right? According to Rabbi Yosi, no one's going to disagree. In other words, Abaye most definitely cannot be like Rabbi Yosi to say that he's like him. Because since Rabbi Yosi said that if someone's huzam adin mamanas, he's not possible for din nefashis, even though that regarding monetary law, he's rala shemaim and rala brias, all for sure Rabbi Yosi would hold that if someone is only a problematic with nevelis, he's not going to be puzzled for dini mamanis, because Abaye definitely has to say it's a machlekes tanoim, because Abaye was saying that if you're a mummer for nevelo, you're going to be problematic for a mammon, where nevelo is only rala shemayim, mammon's rala shemayim rala brias. If Rabbi Yosi holds that even from something that's rala shemayim rala brias of, let's say, dini mamanis, is not puzzled for rala shemayim rala brias of dini nefashis, because they're still different, Mammon is still Mokal, then for sure he's not going to take you from Nevela, which is only Rala Shemayim, to say that you would be suspect regarding it's saying even monetary law, of which is Ralash Member Ala Briz. So there, most definitely, Abaye cannot be like Rabbi Yisi. But says the Gemara, keep pliga libid Rameya. But, however, we could say that when did the Machlekes Abaye and Rava could be even in the opinion of Rameya. In other words, Rava does not have to say that it's like along party lines of Tanoim. Because Rava could say that I could be not only like Rabbi Yisi, but I could even be like Rameya. Why? Because you could say Abaye Rameya. Abaye definitely is understood like Rameya, who holds that, yeah, you can go from something Kal to something more Chamer. But Rava could tell you no. I could be even like Rameya because Ad Kan Lekam Rameya Hasam. Where do you find Rameya over there saying that his halacha elegabe eid zaymim de mammon only when it's regarding someone become huzam adini mammonis? That's where Rameya says, oh, then he's going to be apostle for kol tarakula even for something more severe like din in the fush. It's because the rala shemayim rala bris. Because ultimately, even though obviously capital law is more severe than monetary, but essentially it's the same category because you're suspect to be rala shemayim rala bris. And therefore, although maybe in intensity it's more, but it's the same category. So yeah, says Rava, I would agree to that concept that once you suspect regarding where you huzam adin mamnis that you'll be huzam to din nefashas too. Aval hacha, but says Rava over here in that case that I'm discussing with Abaya, if someone was oichon nevelis lahachis, the rala shemayim ve'ein rala briyas, where he's only wicked to Hashem, to heaven, but not to other people, then lie. Then actually, Rameh would agree to me that you would not make you more possible for the Mechamer Digger thing of Aegis, which is Ra'al HaShemayim, Ra'al HaBriz. If someone suspects to be Ra'al HaShemayim, does not mean that he suspects to be Ra'al HaShemayim, Ra'al HaBriz. And therefore, even Rameh could be like me, not just like Rabbanan. And therefore, it doesn't have to be a Machlekes Tanoim. It could be everyone would hold like Rava. However, the Gemara says, the Hilchos HaKava say that by Halacha does follow like Abaya, that if someone is a Eichel Nevelis Lahachis, he deliberately eats non-kosher to anger God, although that's only Ra'al HaShemayim, he does become Pasul HaEdis, even though that's a more severe category of Ra'al HaShemayim or Ra'al HaBriyas. Now the Gemara asks, but Voi Taisav, but we just mentioned before this Machlekes, and we said, oh, we refuted Abaya from a Braisa. How can we say Halacha falls like Abaya? Says the Gemara, Hahi, that Braisa that said that what's the cases of this halacha of Altashas Rosh Eid are the Gazlanin and Malvi Ribyas, which from there we refute Abayi, which sounds like, oh, that's only regarding financial things, but if someone's Eichel Nevelis Lahachas, then it's going to be Kasher. Says the Gemara, that's Rib Yosihi. That's like an individual Tana, meaning it's a Das Yachid, who he's the one that we just quoted. Yeah, he holds, like Rava, that you would go from a Kula to a Mochamra, but since he's a Das Yachid, but there are those who disagree with him, and that's who Abayi would hold like, and therefore the halacha falls like Abayi. But the Gemara asks, wait a second, but to have a number of Rabbi Yisi. So even if you're going to say that Braisa we refute Abaye from is Rabbi Yisi, but Remeiv, Rabbi Yisi, Alochak, Rabbi Yisi, we said, who's the other opinion that disputes Rabbi Yisi? So who would that be? Even if you're going to say that it's Remeir, because Rabbi wanted to say Remeir would be like even like him, but who at all would be that disputant is Remeir, but we said a general category when the Gemara says an Erevin, different Machlekes, and that we said generally if there's Machlekes Remeir, Rabbi Yisi, Alochak, Fazak, Rabbi Yisi anyway. So how's that going to help? We anyways have to pass them like their Braisa, which is not like Abaya. How can we pass them like Abaya? Says the Gemara, Shani Hasam, there in the Machlekes between Abaya and Rava, and this halacha of Mumar Eichel Nevelis Lahachis is different because the Sosam Lon Tana, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, the Tana, he said an unspecified Mishnah, Kerameir, which a Stam, halacha is like a Stam Mishnah. So although generally we pass them like Rabbi Yisi, but since it's a Stam Mishnah like Kerameir, which is according to the opinion of Abaya, therefore it's not difficult, it's not a refutation of Abaya, and we pass them like Abaya. So the Gemara is Vehecha Sasana, where do we have an unspecified Mishnah saying like this opinion of Rameir? Says the Gemara, Kihad de Barchama, like we had in this incident of Barchama, which from that will be illustrated what's the Stam Mishnah. Bar Chama was Kotel Nafshe. He murdered someone. Amli Reshka Lusil Rav Abba Bar Yaakov. So the head of the people, the Jews in the diaspora, said to Rav Abba Yaakov, says, Puk Ayinbo, go ahead and analyze this. Iva the Kotel, if he definitely killed this person, then L'chiyuhu Le'ene, then we're going to gouge out his eyes. The reason why they were going to do that for someone murdering is because actually they already nullified the death penalty from the Jewish courts. And this was just a penalty that they would do because the courts could hit and punish not even what's said in the Torah to enforce law, but they can't go ahead and execute him. Or some say actually it means that they would take away his money and give it to his inheritors, which is like blinding his eyes. And some say it means excommunicating, but the primary interpretation means that we can actually gouge out his eyes. So also trace the Hadi, Asid debate, Devadi Kotel. So actually two witnesses came along and they testified and says, yeah, definitely, we saw him murder that person. So Azal Ihu, so this Bar Chama went, Icy Tresahadi, he brought a different pair of witnesses. Asidu Bey Bechad Mahanach, who these two witnesses testified regarding one of those two people who testified that he had murdered that person, where Charama, one of the two people that he brought this Bar Chama, said that Kamoy Didi Ganav Kava de Chushla, that one of these first pair of witnesses, one of the people from that pier, he stole a kav of peeled barley. V'charam, and the other one says, Kamoy didi gonav, in front of me, I saw him steal as a katin to mebeis, kata divertia, the handle of a spear. So therefore, these two people were invalidating one of the two witnesses who were supposed to be a witness to testify that this guy murdered. And they were invalidating him because they said that we see that he stole. And someone like Gazlan, we said in our previous Mishnah, that makes him possible to be an aid. So Amalei, so he said to him, my daitra, what are you thinking? Kiremeir, like Remeir? Remeir, meaning, because like Remeir, who he says that if someone is possible for monetary law, he becomes possible even for din nefashis, because that's the case of it. If someone stole money, which is a psulim ominous, so you want to say that he's not valid to be a witness for a capital punishment. But on that, he said, Remei Rebbe Yesi, Remei Rebbe Yesi, Halachic Rebbe Yesi, Halachic Vazic Rebbe Yesi. Rebbe Yesi Ha'amar, who's the Medina Mam? As Rebbe Yesi said, as recorded in the Brisa previously, if someone gets refuted regarding monetary law, Kashal Dinafad Nefashis, he is kosher for Dinafashis. So what are you doing? You're saying one of these two witnesses is suspect regarding monetary law? Fine. But it does not make him suspect regarding capital punishment, and therefore he's still a valid witness. On that, Amalei Rapapi, but Rapapi said to him, oh, no. When do we say Halacha Vazik Rebbe Yisi when he argues with Remeir? Is when we don't have an unspecified Mishnah which is saying Stam like Remeir. Hacha Sosim Lantanik Remeir, here Rebbe Yehuda Nasi had this Stam Mishnah like Remeir, and therefore since he is suspect regarding monetary law, he is going to be suspect regarding his testimony in capital punishment. Which, that again brings us back to the question. So okay, that started us off. That's an incident that's actually happening this. So the question was, Mimai, but where is this Stam Mishnah? Says the Gemara, if you're going to bring this proof from a Mishnah Masechtas Nidah. Why? Because the Mishnah says as follows. It says, Kalaro Lodin Din Nefashis, whoever is fit to educate capital law case, to be a judge in capital punishment, so Ro Lodin Din Nemamnes. So he's fit, definitely, to then preside over a monetary, a financial court case. And the assumption of this Mishnah is that it's talking about if someone is chashed, if someone suspect regarding an area of law, so if he's not suspect regarding capital punishment, he's most definitely not suspect regarding monetary law. That's what the Mishnah says in Masechtas Nidah. So it says the Gemara Mani, who is this Tana? Ilem Rebbe Yesi, if you say it's Rebbe Yesi, how could you say that? Ha'ika eid zayim demamin. There's the category of someone that was refuted, suspected regarding monetary law. Rebbe Yesi holds the kashal din nefashis, who is kosher for capital punishment. And yet he's possible din mamnes. So this Tana, this Tam Mishnah Masechtas Nidah cannot be like Rabbi Yisi. Because saying if you're fit to judge by din nefashis, you're fit to be din mamnes, not true. Rabbi Yisi holds you could be invalid for din mamnes, you were huzum din mamnes, yet you'll still be kosher for din nefashis. So therefore that can't be like Rabbi Yisi. Elolav Remeir, he obviously, this Mishnah, this Tam Mishnah, is like Remeir, who says that since someone is suspect regarding monetary law, he would be invalid to be a witness for capital punishment. And therefore, you're right. You never have a case where someone's not going to be kosher, that someone's going to be kosher for din nefashis and pasul for mamonis. So therefore, you see that the Stam Mishnah is like Remeir, and that's why we would say like Remeir. So it's like, well, no, Mimai, how do you know that that's the interpretation of that Mishnah? Dilma bibsula yuchasin koi. Maybe that Mishnah is not discussing regarding whoever suspect, and therefore you would prove it's like Remeir. Maybe it's talking about a different context. Maybe it's talking about those who have an invalidation in their lineage, which that actually does apply regarding capital punishment, because as the Gemara tells us later on, the Aflamed Vav Amid Beis, like Rabbi Yisib teaches from Abraisa, that you need a Bezdin Meyuches. You need to have the judges to have lineage, because it teaches just like the court has to be clean in righteousness, like it says, B'tzedek Tishpid, so too the court has to be clean from any blemish, as it says, Kulach Yafar Yasi, you're totally beautiful, in Mum Einbuch, there's no blemishes, meaning even in their lineage, there has to be pure. And that's what it's saying. Where whoever is fit to be a dying in din nefashis because of his yichis, for sure could be a dying in din mamonis. And actually, the Gemara says the ilei temelachim, because we don't say this, that it's like how we're answering that it's talking about yichus, but rather like you wanted to prove that it's like a mayor because it's talking about regarding if someone suspect, but if he's good for nefashis, he's good for mamonis, then say for diktani, then how do you understand the end of that Mishnah? It
says, Yesh ro lo din dinimam. This are those who are fit to educate a monetary court case. Vein ro lo din dinifash is not fit to educate a capital punishment. And the question is, am I in a row? Why would such a person not be fit to be a judge in capital punishment? The itzazim bedin nefash. So what do you would say? Oh, because he was huzim when he was trying to be a witness or a judge when he was regarding capital punishment. But then, how can you say that? Ro lidin din mamunis? So then, how could that be a person be fit to judge or to be a witness for monetary law? But vadivri hakol pasul, we said in the previous brayso of Remain and Risi, everyone agrees in that case. If someone's huzim din nefashes, he's for sure huzim din mamunis. So how would you explain the end of that Mishnah? Who would be able to be a dying din mamunis and not be by din nefashes? Obviously, because the Mishnah is talking about something totally different, not regarding suspect to lie, rather talking about someone that just because of his parents or grandparents that he had, for example, a ger, a convert, or a mamzer, who they're kosher to be, they're very regular Jews, they can be big tzaddikim, that they could judge dinim amanis. However, they are possible to be done, dinim fashas, because that's a separate halacha, that they can't have any blemish, which yichus, it is considered a spiritual blemish. So, therefore says the Gemara, there is no proof that there's a stam Mishnah like Remei, because it's not talking about Chashudin, it's talking about Psul Yichas, as we prove in the end of the Mishnah, and that's what it's saying, that if whoever's fit to dan din nefashes, because if it's Yichas, for sure is right to be done, din amamunis. So, Ela Hacha Kasasin Lontana, rather says the Gemara, the stam Mishnah is a different Mishnah. Ditnan, as we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, it says, Elohin HaPsulim, these are the individuals that are invalid, similar to our previous Mishnah, to be Edim, to be Dayanim. Hamasach b'kuviyah, if someone is a gambler, umav b'ribis, if someone lends money on interest, umafrichayanim, if someone has the birds flying, which we had different interpretations, whether it be bird races or bird fights, v'secher shviyas, or someone that does business with shmita produce, v'havodim, and slaves, zehaklal, this is the rule, says the Mishnah, kol edus she'en le'ishik sherila, any testimony that a woman is not kosher and valid for, afhein ein kasherin lo, so do these individuals are not valid to be witnesses in those court cases too. So it says, because there are certain exceptions that a woman would be valid, and then these individuals would be valid too. So says the Gemara Mani, who's the Tana of this Mishnah? Elam Rabbi Yisi, if you say it's Rabbi Yisi, but vo'ika edus bedine nefashes, there's testimony regarding capital punishment, she'ena yishik sherila, that a woman is not valid to say testimony for, v'hen sherila, yet these individuals, since, according to Rabbi Yisi, they're only suspect regarding monetary law, that's Malve Beribis, all these people, they violate Torah law for monetary reasons, but for capital punishment, they wouldn't violate Torah law. And according to Rabbi Yisi, they're kosher, like he said, if you huzim adin imamnes, you're still kosher adin nefashes. So then how could you say that this would be Rabbi Yisi if whatever the women are, they are, but women are not kosher adin nefashes, and they would be. Elalav, Remeir he. So rather, it must be that's like Remeir, who he says, yeah, that these individuals are not only possible adin imamnes, they're also puzzle for din nefashas too, which is the same like a woman, and if we have a stam mishnah like Remeir, and if we have a stam mishnah like Remeir, therefore Bar Chama was correct in bringing witnesses, two people who are showing that one of the two witnesses who were trying to be witnesses to execute Bar Chama were their chashid amamanis, and therefore according to Remeir, and we have a stam mishnah like Remeir, although he's arguing Rabbi Yisi, that makes you also chashid din nefashas. So come Bar Chama, so Bar Chama got up, Nashke Akare, he went and kissed Rav Papi on his foot because he went through all this effort to find merit for him, to save him from being executed. V'kabli l'charge de kulishne, and he accepted upon himself that he's going to pay Rav Papi's taxes for the rest of his life as a show of gratitude, because if not for him, he would have been executed. But he was able to show the halachas like a mayor, which thus invalidated one of those two witnesses, thus not being able to execute Bar Chama. And again, that answers our question that we said before. What was the Stam Mishnah that we have like Remeir, which was this idea of saying like Abai, although we thought we refuted him, because Rabbi Yisi is not like Remeir, but we said there's a Stam Mishnah like Remeir, which is thus going to be like Abai's opinion, not like Rabba, where if someone's Oichem Mumun Nevelis Lahachis, although it's Kal, he's going to be ushered for the Chamer thing, which is like the opinion of a mayor, where although Lahachis is only Ra'al Shemayim, you'll still be possible for Edis of Mumun, which is Ra'al Shemayim V'Ra'al Abrius. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we were talking about psuli ages, those who are invalid to say testimony. And one of the categories were relatives. So says the Mishnah, the Elohim HaKraven, how far is this relationship go to make a person invalid to say testimony? So that's what our Mishnah describes, the different categories. The Elohim HaKraven, these are the relatives that are possible to say ages. Achiv, his brother. Vachi Aviv, his father's brother. V'achi imai, his mother's brother. And as we'll see later on, this includes not only those individuals, but them and their sons, as the Gemara learns out from Pesukim. U'bal achaisai, and his sister's husband, which that makes him like his brother, because as the Gemara will learn that a husband is like his wife. We say ishta kagufo in both ways. So just like his sister is like his brother, it's his sibling. So the sibling's spouse is the same thing. And also his son, which is going to be like his sister's son, is going to be just like his brother's son, which as the Gemara will learn out actually, that the sister relationships is the same as the brother relationships. I mean, the kareve aim is kareve ha'av, is the same type of thing. U'bal achais aviv, and his father's sister's husband, his uncle, but it's his father's sister's husband, which is the same thing as his father's brother, because we're saying that a sister's husband is the same as like a brother. U'ba'al achais imay, and the husband of his mother's sister, which again is saying is the same as his mother's brother. U'ba'al imay, and his stepfather, meaning his mother's husband. V'chamav, and his father-in-law. V'gisa, and his brother-in-law, meaning his wife's sister's husband. So these nine categories are not only hen, they themselves are going to be puzzled to say testimony, but it also includes ubenei and their sons, v'chasnein and their sons-in-law. Then a tenth one is v'chargoi, his stepson and his wife's son. There it's only levadli. There it's only his stepson that's puzzled, but not his stepson's son and son-in-law. Now Rashi points out, he says, one might have a question and say, if we already said that Baal Imai is puzzled, that his mother's husband is puzzled for him, so then I already know, obviously, that he's puzzled to his mother's husband. So then why do I have to say stepson if that's the same thing? Now if it's coming to say because, yeah, because Churgoi is unique, and to say because Churgoi is Levadoi, and we had to say it, especially to say there it's not Heinu B'nein V'chasnein, but then don't mention Churgoi at all. As long as you didn't say it, so then you would know that it's puzzled because it's Baal Imai, it's his stepfather, it's the same thing. So, and I would have known that you only know that case. I would have known Heinu B'nein is not mentioned specifically. Why does it mention it? So that actually, Rashi says, that's not a difficulty, because actually there are many categories that could be inferred from the Mishnah, and yet the Mishnah says it explicitly. For example, the case of my brother, which I'm puzzled to him and he's puzzled to me, because I'm also his brother. And then it says those categories include not only the brother, but it says hen uvenehen. So his son is puzzled to me and I'm puzzled to him, which I'm also achi aviv, I'm his father's brother. And the Mishnah teaches achi avi, that teaches these cases of my father's brother is puzzled to me and I'm puzzled to him, which he's my brother's son. And it already says that case. And all these other cases, there are many cases that Rashi goes through, and all these cases, when you analyze them, you really find them explicitly written in the Mishnah, except for the ben achi ishtoi, meaning his wife's brother's son, which that is inferred. It's not said explicitly, it's inferred from balachis aviv, which is the husband of his father's sister. And also the other category of chesna, of his son-in-law, which that's inferred from chama, from his father-in-law, which those don't say explicitly. But there are many that said, and therefore, yeah, it's not a difficulty. That's how the Mishnah does say it, even though it could be inferred from other cases. Now, Amar B'Yisi says, Zu Mishnah's Rebbe Kiva. These 9 categories that we mentioned was from the teachings of Rebbe Kiva, of the Mishnah Rishayna, but the earlier version of the Mishnah of this teaching was actually a much smaller category. It was only Doi Doi, his uncle, Uven Doi Doi, and his uncle's son, meaning his cousin, V'chala Roli Yarshein, all those specifically that are fit to inherit him, specifically paternal relationships through his father. But maternal relationships, relatives that are through his mother, for example, his mother's brother, actually would be kosher for him because he's not fit to inherit him, as the Mishnah teaches in Baba Basak of Chesem Amad Aleph, that Ha'achio Aim, the mother's brother, are manchilin, they can only bequeath to him when he dies, but V'loi Neichlin, they do not inherit the nephew. Now, however, he would be puzzled still, even according to the Mishnah Rishayna, to Achi Imai, he would be puzzled to his mother's brother, because he would be testifying for his uncle, who he is fit to inherit his uncle. It's just the other way that wouldn't be a problem, because his uncle is not fit to inherit him. So anyone that's not fit to inherit, that's not a psul according to the Mishnah Rishayna to say testimony. And a brother-in-law is also fit to say testimony, because he's not fit to inherit. They're only related through the sisters, and therefore, the halacha originally was in Mishnah Rishayna, there was only these few cases that are fit to inherit, they're possible. But anyone else, all these other categories that are not fit to inherit, would be kosher to testify. Now, continues the Mishnah, v'chalakarav lo yiba'isa isha. And moreover, it's only if he's a relative at that time, either when he's coming to testify or when he saw the thing that he's testifying regarding, only if he's a relative at those moments, then he's possible. But if he's not a relative, as the Mishnah says, if hayikarav, let's say he was a relative. For example, he was a son-in-law who was fit to inherit. But then, b'nisrachik, then he was not a relative anymore, meaning because his wife died before he ever saw this testimony regarding his father-in-law, hareza kosher, then actually he would be kosher, because since when he saw it and when he testified, he was not a relative, even though at one point he was a relative, that would not make him possible to say edus. He says, no, actually, afilah meis debita, even if this man's daughter died, meaning the son-in-law's wife, the yeshle banim menu, but he has sons from her, hareza kosher, he says, no, that's just still considered related because he has children from her. He's still related to the father-in-law and would be possible to say testimony. Continues to Yehuda, ha'oyev v'hasayne, a very dear friend and an enemy, which what that means to oyev, a friend, zeh shushbina, that refers to a person, shushbinim, which that means to say that he would come with gifts by this person's chasna, where he's possible for him all the days of the chuppah, when the wedding's going on, or sayne, or an enemy, and what that means to say is kol shalei dibre mashleisha yom be'ev, if he didn't speak to him for 3 days out of enmity, out of hatred, those two are also possible to say edus for that other individual. However, Amulai, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, le'nechshedu Yisrael al-kach, the Jewish people are not suspect regarding that to actually say false testimony because of hating someone or because of loving someone, which as Rashi points out, but that's only regarding that the Chacham hold regarding testimony. But regarding being a judge, the Rabbanu would agree that an enemy or a very dear friend would be possible to be a dying friend because since he hates him, he's not going to be able to find any merit and favor for him, and therefore he would be possible to be a dying. But they're saying that would not invalidate him from being a witness. So the Gemara starts explaining the halachas of our Mishnah. Menonimili, where do we know this halacha that occurred, that a relative is possible to say edus for a relative of his? Meaning we know, for example, in the previous Mishnah, when someone's a gazlan, someone is regarding monetary law, it says, I'll touch this Russia aid. But where do we know there's a psul of craven? Says the Gemara, the Tanabon, like we learned in the Brice, the Pasuk in the Devarim says, La yumsu avis albanim, that fathers should not die on sons, which the Pasuk there continues, and also the other way, that sons should not die on fathers. Matam alema, what's the Pasuk teaching? What is it saying? Im lalamed shalo yumsu avin banim, if it's saying, as one, it's the literal translation sounds like, that a father should not die because of the sins of the sons. Ubanim ba'avin avis, and as the pasuk continues, that sons should not die because of sins of the fathers. Harei kvar nema, but that already says there explicitly that concept in the pasuk. It says ish bechetu yumasu. A man dies for his own sins, not because of his sons or his father's sins. So what then? What do you translate the rest of the pasuk as saying? Ella rather says the brisa lo yumsu avis abanim. What does it mean that fathers should not die on the sons? Meaning be'edus banim, through the testimony of his sons, a father cannot die, because a son's not valid to testify for his father. And when it says ubanim lo yumsu alavis, that sons should not die on fathers, it means be'edus avis, meaning through the testimony of the fathers. Now, an important concept that we're going to see on the next daf from this pasuk is that it says it in the plural, banim and avis. So we're talking about two avis, two fathers, with the testimony of their sons. Now, by default, you have to say that who are these two fathers with two sons, and that the sons are possible. Sounds like each son is possible for either father, is we're talking about two fathers that are brothers, which they're the closest relatives that we would normally find. And the reason why is because you can't just say it's talking about a father and a son, because then it shouldn't have said in the plural avos. It should have just said lo yumus av al ben. Then it would have told us that there's one father and one son. But since it says in the plural, and therefore the Gemara is going to use that on the beginning of the next daf, that to prove from this pasuk, which is already clear, that a nephew would be possible for an uncle. Because we're talking about two sons and two fathers, which are two brothers and the first cousins, which are saying to show that they're possible, the sons, to testify for the other father too. And that's why it says in the plural, for his uncle. Now the Gemara, however, asks on this brisa, were you proving that it's talking about testimony? Why? Because it can't be talking about literally, because an individual doesn't die. Well, first of all, we said that you already see from the other part of the pasuk. But it's also because ubanim ba'avin avis lai. You're saying that a son does not die for the sins of the father. And it can't even be talking about that, because it already says that in the other part of the pasuk. And that the Gemara says, is that really so? That not?
But the pasuk says in Shemayis, "Poiked oven avis abanim." Hashem places as a memory the sin of the fathers on the sons, that the sons die for the sins of the fathers. Says the Gemara, "Hasim kishayichsin ma'isav b'sein b'yadein." That's when the sons take hold of the sins of the fathers. They follow in their evil ways. Then, if the son sins, then he's going to get punished for his own sins and for the sins of his fathers. But if he doesn't sin, then most definitely a person does not get punished for the sin of his son or of his father. Kidatan like Linda Brysa. Pasuk says in Mayikra, it says, Va'av ba'avoynis avoysim, that also in the sins of their fathers, itam yimoku, with them they will wither. What does that mean, with them? When they hold on to the sins of their fathers, if he's righteous, he's not going to die for the sins of his fathers, but if he follows in his way, then he'll also get punished for his father's sins. Which the Brisa says, do you say it's only if he holds on to his father's sinful ways? Or maybe it's even when he doesn't. It's still he'll get punished for his father's sinful ways. But says the Brisa, when it says a man dies for his own sins, so behold, which another Girsa adds on words over here, so kishainan ichsinema. So from that part of the pasuk of Ishbechet Yumosu, it already tells us that someone dies for his own sins when he doesn't follow in his father's ways. So Imani Mekayim said, what do I fulfill when it says Af Bavoinis Avoisim Itim Yimoku, that also he'll be punished for his father's sins? That's Kisha Ichsin Maisa Vesim Yudim. That's when he follows not only his own wicked ways, but his father's wicked ways, and then he gets punished not for his own sins, but even for his father's sins. So therefore, we see that a person does not get punished for his father's sins, only when he follows in his ways. Says the Gemara v'loy, but is that really so? A person cannot get punished for someone else's sins, only if he also sins himself? But v'ksiv, there's a pasuk earlier over there that says, v'chashlu ish ba'achiv, that a man will stumble in his brother, which sounds like that because of his brother, he's going to stumble. What does that mean? So that's because ish ba'avin achiv, a man will get punished for the sin of his brother. Melamed says the halacha shekul narivim zebezeh, that all Jews are guarantors one for the other. So you see that a person could get punished for someone else's sin. So what do you think? You can't get punished for the father's sin because you didn't sin yourself. You see that clearly there is a punishment for someone else's sins. So the Gemara, no hasim shahayi biyadim limchas b'leimichu. There, it's not just a person. If a person is purely righteous, did nothing wrong, of course he's not going to get punished for, let's say, his father's sins. There, it's talking about when he could have protested and they didn't protest. So he is an implicit conspirator. He plays a role in that sin. That's why he gets punished for the halacha of arvis, of not doing anything. But if someone was purely righteous, didn't do anything, he protested, then for the sin of someone else, even for the sin of the father, if he's not eichis b'maisa avoisav, then he's definitely not going to get punished for the sins of his father. That's what the pasuk says already, ish b'chet yumasu, so we already know that. So what is the rest of the pasuk when it's saying, l'yumso avos abanim, and banim alavos, must be talking about regarding the testimony of the father or the son for the other, that doesn't work. A relative is possible to say edus for his relative.